Like right now, my person is somewhere out there getting his dick sucked by a girl that's not right for him, because I'm the girl for him. And one day it's going to be my mouth on that penis. To another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy on every Thursday with me, your baddie, Violet Benson. Sorry that I'm laughing. Okay, so right now, it has been 2 weeks since I have been ghosted and since I recorded the episode of me crying that I got ghosted, which is up today. Right now, I'm recording this message before I'm about to start editing this episode and having to hear myself cry over a man I barely know, but I'm doing this for you guys. I know vulnerability is important, and even though it is hard for me to show it, it is part of life, and it is a way to show that we all go through it. Whenever I have these solo episodes that are vulnerable or me crying and all that, I have this weird thing where it makes me uncomfortable to even have a producer or anyone touch it or edit it. I have to do it myself because, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at myself, but get ready for a journey. Get ready for a ride. And I hope the guy who goes to me never listens to this episode because I will kill myself. Okay, let's fucking go. Today's podcast episode is brought to you by Credit Karma, Pill Club, Uncommon Goods, and me. If you're currently feeling frustrated after getting rejected for a credit card or personal loan, don't worry, happens way too often to so many of us. That's why I partner up with Credit Karma, because they're currently changing the way people find and apply for cards and loans. Whether you're refinancing a credit card debt or you're paying for an upcoming expense, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you fresh personal loan offers that are personalized for you. On Credit Karma, you can check out multiple loan offers side by side. Members who compare loan offers on Credit Karma save an average of 30% on interest rates. That's amazing. It's completely free and it's super easy to sign up for a Credit Karma account with no effect on your credit score, making it super simple to search for the right personal loan that fits for you. Credit Karma is even going to show you all of your approval odds so you can choose offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. And once you have a loan, Credit Karma can help you track your progress as you pay off your debt and even let you know if you can refinance and save. So check out Credit Karma today and apply with more confidence. Are you ready to apply? If so, then head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers with your approval odds right now. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. Once again, that's creditkarma.com/loan offers. All right, now let's get this up. Today's episode is going to be solo. Right now, I'm recording one part of it. I figure this can be kind of like those two other episodes I've done in the past, like the manifesting episode where I just record like three different bits whenever throughout like a week or two or three or a month and then put it into one little episode. I was not planning on recording this episode, but I said, you know what? Let me show you my vulnerable side, which I do sometimes. Today's episode is, he fucking ghosted me like, so yeah, I finally got ghosted. It's not fun. I actually have always said I've never been ghosted before. I've never felt it. So now I've experienced it and let's talk about it. I want to talk about it. So basically there was this guy and honestly, I feel really embarrassed even talking about it, but there's no better way to heal than to talk about things. And, you know, I know we've all gone through it and fuck it. you know? Okay, so basically there was this guy that I met that I really liked. I talked about it on Hannah Burner's podcast, Burning in Hell. I think that would be probably the first time you guys may have heard about him. And then I talked about it again with the Stallone sisters. I did a 2-episode with them. So on that full episode, even though it got split into two, I mentioned this guy. So as you can tell, there was like someone that was kind of liking and romanticizing in the back of my head. And then he ghosted me. And I am so oblivious to these things that it took me a week and a half to realize that I've actually been ghosted. And like, I'll get into that later, because that makes me feel like I'm a terrible idiot and a terrible person. Being ghosted for the first time and actually experiencing it, I feel like I started going through the motions of trying to figure out what I did wrong, replaying everything in my brain. Like, it just wasn't making sense to the point that I even sat. And if you've never seen the show Insecure, I definitely recommend it. Everyone should watch it. It's on HBO right now. It's their 5th and last season. It's really good. But they have this on season 3, episode 7, Issa gets ghosted, and she goes through everything that I experienced in that moment. She like gets crazy in her head. She goes through his Instagram. She starts stalking anyone he's added. She even somehow figures out a way to show up at his house and goes through his room to just try to figure out like, what is he going through? Like, is he alive and well? If he's alive and well, like, why the fuck is he not texting her? And then she does what we all do as women, is we blame ourselves. One thing I do is I avoid talking about things with people for a minute. So then I just prolong the sadness because I just hold it in, and then I walk around mopey and I keep it to myself because I know that once I finally have to open up about it and say it out loud, then it becomes true. As in, the person you already romanticized your whole life with is not actually your person, and the reality sinks in that they don't like you. And once you say out loud, that sucks because it doesn't fit into my perfect little fairy tale. And that's kind of what ended up happening to me. So yeah, I ended up really liking this guy. And I guess I started to romanticize him and I thought he was amazing. We started very hot and heavy. And then I guess I started going through the motion of who I am as a person, where I say one thing, then I do something else, and I pull in, then I pull back because I freak out, and I just always hope this person, whoever I'm talking to, will chase me, and then they never do. And I thought everything was fine between us. I kind of reacted. I was like, oh, I can't do this. Then a day or two later, I like apologized. Like, no, that's not what I mean. Like, I really like you. I think you're so great. Can we start over even as friends? And he said, yeah, of course. Of course, I forgive you. Everything's fine. We're good. Yeah, clean slate. And I said, perfect. And then I never heard from him again. And again, like I said, it took me over a week to realize that I was ghosted because I'm so oblivious to things. I'm so busy being in my fairy tale that I didn't even realize this guy didn't like me. I was so busy creating our life in my head that I didn't even realize he got over me. And he obviously lied. And that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I watched Insecure. Issa is the girl that gets ghosted. And basically, they only hung out twice and they have plans. And then he just completely ghosted her. And then for a couple of days, just never got back to her. And she never saw him again, never responded, never told her what happened. And then Issa tells her best friend, Molly. She goes, you know, I just feel like I opened up to him and I feel like he saw me. And maybe I was too real with him and it scared him off. And what if I'll never feel like that with anyone again? And then Molly goes like, bitch, if he gets scared off because you were too real with him, then why do you want him anyway? And then Issa says it's because he made me feel more than a fuck up. Like, I don't know if anyone is ever going to make me feel like that again. And that's kind of how I felt with this guy. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of us do, where we create a reality that's not real and we create a story and we put so much on one person that we just meet and we create a fairy tale around them. And the fairy tale that I created around this guy that I met was, A, I didn't have sex before that for like a year and a half. So this was the first guy I finally slept with. But it wasn't just that. I finally had intimacy with someone again, where it was like the touching and the holding and the cuddling and opening up. And I just felt like this person saw me. And in that moment, my fairy tale that I created, I felt like, especially because I never thought I was going to see him again, so I could completely be myself. I felt like it was one of the first people I could just be myself. And he saw me and he liked who I was as myself. And I felt like we were cut from the same cloth because I'm a poetic person. And I was like, wow, this person gets me and he's just like me. Like, I feel like an outsider and I can tell he's an outsider. He sees me and I feel like no one else sees me. And he's the only person I can finally be myself with. And like, imagine putting so much weight on a stranger. Like, that's all the weight that I put. Like, no one else can see me the way this person whom I just met can see me. And that's why the feeling of him suddenly being gone, I was just like, fuck, like, I'm never going to feel like this again. Like, I just missed out. This is my fault. He stopped talking to me because I never know what I want. And he got turned off by me and he got to see who I really was. And he doesn't like who I really am. Like, that's even worse. Like, before, I pretended to be someone else. So I didn't care if someone walked away. But this time, I showed who I really was. And he was like, fuck that. That's disgusting. I hate it. Bye. Not that that happened, but you know what I mean? That's the, like, the thoughts that go through your head. And you're like, okay, I'm never going to open up again. I'm never going to meet someone else that gets me. Like, my mom said this to me that really stuck with me. When I told her I felt like I could finally be myself with someone, she said, well, Violetta, if you keep pretending to be someone else with everyone else, you're going to keep feeling like nobody understands you. And that really stuck with me because, wow, that's so true. This guy finally saw me because I chose to show myself to him. It wasn't because he was special. It was because I allowed myself to open up to some stranger that I thought I was never going to see again. I also then chose to not show myself to other people that are around me. And I chose to feel like a loner, like nobody understands me, because I'm choosing to not show anyone who I am. And I'm choosing to not open up. And I have been thinking about that lately. Just those thoughts in general. When I watch myself self-sabotage a bit with this guy, who, by the way, I'm not going to blame myself for why it didn't work out. It didn't work out because it wasn't my person and who knows what they're going through. But when I was first watching myself self-sabotage a bit with this person, at the same time, there was also this one agency that I really wanted to sign with that used to represent me. And after we had our meeting, they were really eager to talk to me. And I completely ghosted them for like a whole week. And they kept reaching out like, hey, Violetta, like, are you ready to talk? Can you send us the documents you said you were going to send? And I ghosted them and I kept asking myself, why am I doing this? Why am I finally getting the things that I want in my life? And instead, I'm just avoiding it. I'm self-sabotaging. These are the things that I really wanted. Like, I wanted love. I wanted someone that makes me feel a certain way. And then I wanted to be represented by this agency. And like, I wanted to move forward in my life. And instead, I'm just ignoring all the emails, ignoring my phone, and sitting in my bed and just watching TV because that's my escape. And I realized that, not that I'm sinking into depression, I hope not. I don't think that's what it is. I mean, I'm probably maybe feeling, I was feeling depressed, but I'm not depressed. Too big, big difference. And if you don't know the difference, listen to my episode called I Don't Want to Be Sad Anymore. It talks about depression and differences. But I realized it's because I was attaching myself to what feels familiar. And a lot of us do this. Sometimes we think we want to be happy, but we don't realize that we really don't. Because a lot of us, we attach ourselves to what feels familiar. My sister said this to me before. One time we were fighting. We weren't speaking, and then I finally better understood my sister, why she was mad at me, and then I reached out and we made up. But she said to me that I constantly push people away, how there's so many people that want to love me, but instead I constantly push people away because I just want to sit there in self-pity and feel sorry for myself and then act like no one wants to be there for me, when in reality, like, people do want to be there for me, but I prefer to just sulk and feel sorry for myself. Sorry, that's making me sad to think about it, but it's so true. And I think a lot of us do that. And I think that's what I was doing again. It feels familiar to sit in sadness and to sit in boredom and to chase happiness. I say I want to be happy. I say I want these things. But then when they come my way, I'm too scared to actually grab onto those things, because then it's like, now what? I'm not used to this other unfamiliar feeling. What if I actually try and then I fail? That fucking sucks. And I think a lot of us do that, where it's much more familiar to go back to a toxic relationship and to go with the ups and downs because you're used to those emotions. You're used to the high, used to the lows. It's much more familiar to chase a job that you really want versus what happens when you actually get that job. Now you're like, fuck, now I actually have to try. Now I got the job, now what? I think a lot of us don't talk about when you keep chasing happiness, quote unquote, what happens when you actually get it? Then what? But anyway, back to this guy. This guy ghosted me on my birthday. That makes things worse. I mean, you have to be like, you have to be so twisted and kind of so mean and really not care about someone to ghost them on their birthday, right? Yeah, he did not wish me happy birthday. But then that night, I lost my phone. And then Wednesday, I didn't have a phone. And then I finally got a new phone. But when I got a new phone Thursday morning, my iCloud update, I didn't have an update save except for Saturday. So when my iPhone got updated, I only got all the text messages up to Saturday. So then if Tuesday night and Wednesday he texted me, I wouldn't know. And of course, my oblivious ass, I assume he did text me because why wouldn't he? So then I text him and I say, hey, I lost my phone earlier this week. So I have no idea if you were trying to text me because I never got them and don't hear from him. I was like so sure of myself. He's going to text me back. So as usual, I'm so oblivious. While he was ghosting me, and I had no idea that he's ghosting me, this one brand reached out to me and they wanted to send me some cute onesies. And I responded to them saying, yeah, can you send one for me and my man so we can have matching ones? I feel this is the truth. It's like $300 a onesie. And they said, yeah, of course. Today I'm recording the podcast now that I know I've been ghosted and the guy does not give a fuck about me. And his onesie just came in. I got us matching onesies. While this guy's out there probably like getting his dick sucked right now. Like, I mean, come on, it's so embarrassing. So then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, never heard from him. And that's when Sunday night, and I was like, did you ghost me? And shockingly enough, he never responded. It finally hit me. Oh my God, I've been ghosted. Like when I lost my phone, he probably actually never said anything. So it's just been me talking to myself and I didn't even notice it. And yeah, it made me feel really bad about myself, but like I couldn't stalk him because he has no social media. And then I started to wonder like, did he stop talking to me because he found another woman? How many women is he currently talking to? Wait, was I the only girl he was talking to? He was probably talking to multiple girls and I probably didn't even realize that, oh my God, I'm so fucking stupid. Did I open up to him too much? Did he get turned off by that? Maybe he likes me too much. Maybe he likes me too much and he's so scared to fall in love with me. And that's why he took a step back, because he loves me too much. Maybe he got back together with the next. Maybe he has a wife and kids and he had to cater to them. It must be so hard for him. I hope he's okay. Maybe he got hit by a car and he's currently in a coma. So it's not his fault he can't text me back. He's in a coma and he lost his phone. Like all these thoughts, because if he's breathing and alive and well, then why wouldn't he just fucking text me back? But then I realized that maybe, just maybe, he's just not that into me. And no matter how many excuses I can think in my head, it doesn't matter. I don't need a reason or an answer because the answer is right in front of me. If he liked me, I would know. If he wanted to call me, he would call me. If he wanted to text me, he would text me. If he wanted to wish me happy birthday, he would have wished me happy birthday. If he wanted to fight for me, he would have fought for me. So the truth is, he doesn't like me and he was never that into me. I think my issue has always been that I project a better version of people onto them, which is why it takes me a while to see the actual reality of what's really going on from my friends to the people I think I'm falling in love with. Someone told me that the reason we sometimes romanticize people is because the reality of them is not good enough. I love the idea of him more than the actual idea of who he is, which is someone that runs away really easily from commitment or intimacy and all that. Like I wasn't seeing him for who he really is because I don't know him. So then this morning I deleted Raya for now. I deleted his number. I deleted our text together and I took a deep breath and I said, okay, you can stop, move on. I don't regret meeting this guy. I don't regret starting off with a one-night stand and then deciding that I wanted more. I don't regret saying all the nice things I've said about this person. I still think he's wonderful and amazing, and I don't take it personally that I got ghosted. But my person is still out there, and when I meet that person, it's gonna feel right, and they're not gonna run away, and I'm not gonna wanna run away. And that with the right person, you wouldn't even feel the need to create a fairy tale because the reality will be so much better, and the reality will be enough, and that person will be enough. And understand that when people don't choose you, it has nothing to do with you. I think the way people treat us says more about them than it does about us. I know I've said this before, but it's true. Only hurt people hurt people. I feel sorry for people that keep other people at arm's length, because yeah, maybe it'll save you from experiencing pain, but also means that you won't get to experience love either. And I feel sorry for anyone that's in that situation, including myself when I used to be in that type of person. Because people who run away from intimacy, they'll never get to experience how beautiful love is. They'll never get to share it with someone they love. They'll never get to share their darkest secrets with someone who will want to listen. I think it must be so lonely for people like that out there. Life is hard. Life hurts. That's why I think it's important that you find someone that loves you so deeply and always there for you, so maybe life will hurt a little less. But one thing we got to remember is that the healthiest relationships, it has to start with you. You have to love yourself the same way you want someone else to love you. So that means that if you expect someone else to be okay with all of your flaws and you expect them to forgive you for your bad days, then you need to also do that for yourself. So I'm going to take away everything that I made myself feel bad about myself, that all those thoughts that I had and why someone didn't want me or why someone ghosted me. I'm going to forgive myself for those moments and for those thoughts and for whatever I said that didn't sit right with me when I was angry. Yes, it may be true that you're never the exception until you are. And isn't that kind of nice to think about that? That one day for someone out there, you will be the exception. You will be special for that one person. We're meant to keep breaking up until we find that one person that's right for us. The hardest part about dating is not finding someone or the dating part. It's actually the moving on part. The stopping, no longer asking questions on why you're not good enough for them and why they left or why it's not working out. The hardest part about dating is knowing when to let go of the wrong person. So let's say some affirmations before this episode is over. Repeat after me. I don't chase, I attract. What belongs to me will simply find me. I'm grateful for all the joy, abundance, and love that finds me today. I'm grateful for all the people that are no longer in my life. I'm grateful for all the lessons I'm meant to learn. And I'm grateful for all the amazing things that are going to be coming into my life. I am open, I receive, and I'm ready. Amen. It's kind of beautiful to think that there's still so many amazing moments that are going to happen in our lives that we haven't lived yet. And I can't wait till I get to look back and everything is going to make sense. Taking a quick break from me being pathetic and crying about my feelings. Just kidding, just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. If I tell you guys not to be mean to yourselves, then I shouldn't be either. Reminder to myself to talk to myself the way I would expect my friend to. So stopping this crying fest really quickly to discuss today's sponsors of this podcast. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to have a podcast. So make sure you do check them out at the end of this episode, either listening right now or you can check them out in the description. So shout out to Uncommon Goods. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, don't panic, because we've got a secret source for incredible original gifts, and that is Uncommon Goods. Uncommongoods.com have the best, most absolute gifts for everyone in your life. We're talking for moms, dads, teens, in-laws, besties, your sugar daddy that's going to die soon, hopefully, fingers crossed, and your one and only babe that's you're also sleeping with. And it's not stuff that you can find anywhere. Uncommon Goods has unique and creative gifts, often handmade by independent artists and makers. So skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original, uncommongoods.com. Some of my favorite things from the site have been these really cool candles that I've recently got that are nude women, and they have different body shapes, different colors to the candles. I have it all over my house. Anyone that's been to my house knows I'm obsessed with nudity and art that's nudity. So that's the stuff that I've been buying on there. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the US. They have the most beautiful, meaningful, out of the ordinary gifts anywhere. And they also offer uncommon experiences. You can choose from live online classes in mixology, cooking, flower arranging, and more from handpicked artists and experts. And then also with every purchase you make at uncommongoods.com, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated now over $2.5 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/violet. That's uncommongoods.com/violet for 15% off and to donate to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So don't miss out on this limited time offer at uncommongoods.com because they are out of the ordinary, just like my accent. Our last sponsor of the day is Pill Club. As you know, access to affordable healthcare has become so much harder for women, especially in recent years. If you want to gain more free time and have peace of mind, then you need to check out the Pill Club because they make access to affordable birth control, period care, and sexual wellness products so simple and so easy with just an online subscription. You can get your birth control prescribed to you online by a licensed medical provider and delivered straight to your door for free with the Pill Club. The Pill Club carries over 120 FDA-approved brands, and most of these brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, prices start as low as $7 without insurance. That's literally how much you pay for a Starbucks. The Pill Club delivers birth control to your door for free in discreet packaging, along with fun self-care gifts and goodies. So skip the office visit and waiting line the pharmacy and join the club. Right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/violet, the Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Too Tired to Be Crazy listener who becomes a patient. That's amazing. Not only are you taking care of your own body, but you get to take care of low-income individuals who have a hard time getting access to birth control. And thanks to bedsider.org, they have an easier time. And thanks to you. So that's thepillclub.com/violet to get your first birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control. Remember, that's thepillclub.com/violet. You have to use this link in order to get a donation. So today is November 30th, and this will be my last quote unquote journal entry before I am going to be editing this episode. It has now been 3 weeks since I seen this man and 2 weeks since I got ghosted. Am I already talking to someone new? The answer is yes. Am I too prideful to admit that I'm still a bit heartbroken or ego bruised over being ghosted? Because I have no idea why. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. And I'm only admitting this. That's the worst part about having a podcast, because normally I could just pretend I don't care. But the only reason I'm admitting this is because I want anyone out there that's listening, if they're currently going through the same situation and they feel stupid or silly that for whatever reason they can't get over somebody ghosting them or somebody rejecting them or a breakup or whatever it is, and you feel like too much time has passed and for whatever reason you're still sometimes thinking about this person and it makes you feel bad about yourself, I want you to know that you're not alone. I do still think about this guy, not gonna lie. And that's that. This is the part of the podcast where we are now going to go through this together. So if you're currently going through this, bitch, I got you, okay? So this is why I'm already feeling better. I started doing some research. What does it mean when you can't stop thinking about someone you barely know? Does it mean that they're thinking about you? No. Get over yourself. That's a story you're telling yourself. Let's tell ourselves a different story. Maybe you felt an unspoken attraction to this person. And that's where you're sitting now. You're daydreaming about this person, about your physical closeness, about how excited you are every time you see this person, you think about this person, how good this person makes you feel, the physical attraction you have with this person. It's a bittersweet feeling, especially if the other person doesn't know how you feel about them or if they don't share the same emotions as you do. But of course, you're asking yourself, how's that possible for them not to share the emotions I share if I feel it so intensely? Well, it could be because you're using this person as a distraction. It's much easier to focus on a little escape than it is to focus on things that maybe you're not working on in your life, whether you're bored at work, whether it's seasonal depression because it's getting dark outside at 5 p.m., whether you're having a rough time with your family, or whatever it is. Everything else feels mundane or hard. So it's much easier to suddenly start to fantasize about a random stranger that just came into your life. And that's what I was doing for a moment. It was my escape. But you're like, no, V, I'm so drawn to this person's personality and their attitude and who they are. There's traits about them that I admire. I hear you. Because as a pansexual human, I get like that too. I am always attracted and drawn to people that have traits that I admire. That's what makes me feel attracted to someone. But sometimes we forget that, you know who else probably has those traits that we look up to? We do. The traits we admire about this other person that we just met are traits that we forget that we also have. Now, the other thing is, when you feel like you can't stop thinking about someone and you think, oh, maybe it's because they're thinking about me, it could become a sign of obsession. And obsession isn't good for your mental health. The way for you to understand when it stops being love and it's actually obsession is when you realize that love affects you positively. So if you're starting to feel negatively about a person because they're not calling you, they're not reciprocating, because dating, relationship, it takes two people. So if you're starting to feel negative about this because you're obsessing and you're starting to stalk them in every way you possibly can, your other relationships with other people are starting to suffer. You're trying now to seek some type of unwanted attention from this person, whether it's showing up to their house or, you know, calling them nonstop or showing up at places you think they'll be at. That is now you obsessing over someone and creating a whole idea of a person you actually don't know. Another thing is we start to become drawn to a person's mysteriousness. Therapists say that the more unavailable a person is, although it's unattractive to us, women tend to be more attracted to men whose feelings are unclear because it's a puzzle we can solve. We're then able to create a whole story around why this man is so mysterious. One time I dated a guy that didn't want, well, first, he was upset. He like was so in love with me and I didn't give him time of day. Then the roles switched and I became so into him and he was completely treating me like shit because he was like, you know, now you know what it feels like. And I kid you not, I was like, this guy, there's something about him. He's so mysterious. He's so smart. He walks to the beat of his own drum. Then when that whole mysteriousness wore off and I got to really see who this guy was, I was like, holy shit. He is one of the dumbest men I've ever dated. Like, how did that guy even graduate middle school? Like, oh my God. You know what I mean? But before that, it was like the things he was saying that made no sense. I was like, wow, you're like a puzzle I want to solve. But really, it's like, no, he was really stupid. So that's the thing. It becomes an enigma to us. It's elusive. Now I'm intrigued. Now you got my attention because I don't have yours. And another thing that I realized from reading about this stuff is that, especially for people like me who have intimacy issues, which means I'm still drawing other people who have intimacy issues, is that it's much easier for me to create a whole story about a person that's not there, create a whole relationship with them, than it is to actually experience the relationship with them. It feels much safer for someone like me that has an anxious attachment style, the illusion of a relationship with someone, with this person that's not here, than to actually have it. I'm more in love with the versions of people, of a fairy tale created in my head, than the actual people that are in front of me. That's why when they leave, I'm always so shocked because I wasn't paying attention. And the worst part is that sometimes I think I'm more in love with endings than I am with beginnings. There's something so romantic for me when it comes to endings, because then I'm able to sit and fantasize about a version that I created in my head of a person that I barely knew versus actually having to know the reality of someone and then maybe be let down because it won't be what I expected. As much as we can get upset that people ghost us or we meet partners who are not right for us, at one point you have to kind of stop and ask yourself if we are choosing partners that we know are not right for us. Like, if I'm emotionally unavailable and I have intimacy issues, maybe I'm accidentally picking partners I know it's not meant to work out with, because I'm actually not looking for something long term because it scares me. I'm looking for someone to leave me. And most likely that man, the person that walked away from my life, probably feels the same way. That's why we felt so familiar to each other. That's why a lot of times you meet someone and it feels like this instant attachment. And you're like, oh my God, you feel so familiar to me. And that's what I felt with this guy. And now I realize it wasn't because it's my soulmate or my twin flame. We felt familiar because he reminded me of one of my parents that gave me abandonment issues. And I felt familiar to him because I reminded him of one of his parents that gave him his own issues. It reminds you of somebody that abandoned you in your childhood. And it's your childhood trauma revisiting a situation, hoping that this time the outcome will be different, but it won't be. It felt familiar. And then our reaction was for me to self-sabotage and attempt to run away, because that's what we do with our types of attachment styles. Another reason why you're so drawn to this person, or for me, loneliness. I forgot that I wasn't intimate with anyone for a year and a half before I met this person. Then we suddenly just fell into each other's arms and it felt nice. Like, yeah, it felt really nice for someone to hold me and for someone to make me feel safe and for someone to listen to me and for someone to a moment pretend like they care what I have to say. And for a moment I got to imagine what could be with this person. But thinking about it now, once I figured all of that out and I realized that I have control over my thoughts, this person wasn't my end game, because my soulmate, my person, would never make me feel the way this guy made me feel, especially so early on. So let's remember our worth, and let's remember to give ourselves to people who give us the time to get to know us, to people who show up for us, to people who fight for us. Let's not give all of ourselves to people because they act mysterious and they remind us of one of our parents. No, enough. Accept the reality that it didn't work out because it was never meant to work out. You were meant to learn something from this. I've said this before. People don't belong to people. You can't force someone to love you back. You can't force someone to like you back. You can't force someone to be with you. And you can get mad when people change their mind. People are allowed to change their mind. As humans, we have to accept that, yes, it's going to hurt, but we have to move on. And we can't hold grudges on things that are outside of our control. Just because you love someone to the point that the thought of it hurts, it doesn't mean that they have to love you back. No one owes you their love. No one owes you their compassion. No one owes you their kindness. No one owes you an explanation. As much as I would have loved to know why this person ghosted me, he's probably going through his own stuff and he doesn't owe me his kindness if he doesn't feel like giving it to me. All those quotes that people who love greatly and have a big heart that deserve the same back is a bunch of bullshit. Everyone deserves love and everyone deserves the greatest love, and you should go out there and you should find it. But to expect it, almost to demand it from someone who is not your person, who doesn't feel the same way, is beyond unrealistic. And it's setting us ourselves up for failure, or to make us think that if some one person doesn't love us, then we're not worthy of love or something like that. When in reality, we all are, just with our person. Whoever that person is, wherever they are. Like right now, my person is somewhere out there getting his dick sucked by a girl that's not right for him, because I'm the girl for him. And one day it's going to be my mouth on that penis with a commitment. So instead of spending so much time and energy thinking and daydreaming about someone who doesn't fucking deserve you, focus on yourself instead. Think about your needs. Give yourself the same love that you were so desperately trying to give this other person. See yourself as worthy of being loved and cared for. And then stop feeding your thoughts. Start tricking your mind. I have control over my mind and my thoughts and my emotions. I'm not in love with a man I don't know. I just forgot to fall in love with myself for a second. Let's take a deep breath, sleep it off, exercise, do whatever you need to do to stop thinking about this person. For me, I have to start masturbating thinking about someone else. It's like a weird thing, but like, as long as I like someone, I will randomly masturbate thinking about them. So I just have to trick my mind into thinking about someone else. And also, by the way, I cut off all my hoes. I had a whole other lineup in case it didn't work out with this guy. And like within the first time we hung out, I cut off all of those guys. Do I regret that? No. because that means they were not that great anyway. Nothing personal to them, but that must mean there was nothing that special about them. That this one person was a shiny little diamond and that's all I cared about. So I don't regret cutting off all those other guys. I'm still happy that I told all of them that I'm interested in someone else. Yeah, and by the way, I am that person. The minute I meet someone that catches my eye, which is pretty rare, I will dump anyone else I was talking to or entertaining. Like, once someone has my attention, they're the only person getting my attention. And I know eventually when I do meet my person, my soulmate, they will probably move the same way I move. And it'll just feel right. So I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. And if you have any questions, or if you have any current experiences on getting ghosted, or if you have any thoughts about this episode, feel free to DM me on Violet Benson or on Too Tired to Be Crazy Podcast, or send me a text on my number, 310-510-6643. That's 310-510-6643. It's free to text me. I just want to have your number so we can talk and I can text you random weekly mantras. And plus, I want to hear your stories so I can feature you. Anyway, love you, baddies. Bye.